Drivers, start your engines.
Recording live from the NASCAR Man Cave in the Motor City, this is the Lap Traffic Podcast with Tony and Brandon.
All right, Lap Traffic Nation, welcome to episode number 45 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am the professor, Brandon Crowd, and you know what it means if I'm starting a show. Tony is on location live in Las Vegas at the SEMA show for 2017. Tony, what up?
How you doing, buddy?
What's up? I don't get to do that too often.
The conversation,
yeah. This is the second time you've called in.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
So how's it going?
You know, no, hey man, the show's out of control. This place is, I mean, if you're into cars at all, I don't care what level. If you like Jeeps, if you like hot rods, if you like imports, man, God, this place is heaven.
That's awesome, dude. And we got a little surprise coming up for everybody later. Tony got an interview with someone that everybody is going to know this person's name, and we're going to drop that in with the crew chief corner.
Every single person's going to know who this is, you know, and that's the thing is everybody's here, you know, from drag racing to, you know, whatever, they're all here. And so I got to spend some time with Kimmy Kuhn this morning.
Awesome.
I met Jamie Little. And of course, Matt V. Burrito. And actually, I ran into him. He wasn't even at a food stand, so that was kind of the weird part.
You know, so. Hey, Tony, so before we get into, you know, some weekend nonsense and the racing this weekend, so you're in Las Vegas. What's the mood like in Las Vegas? You know, is it surreal? I couldn't imagine being there right now.
So it's there's a lot of signage. So we're across the top of Mandalay Bay right now. There's a huge banner across, probably covers the top two or three floors of Mandalay Bay. It says, you know, it says hashtag Vegas Strong. And you see Vegas Strong all over the city. I can tell you this, that I've been coming to this show for a decade or two, and I've never seen security like this.
Wow.
The monorail, there had to have been seven or eight police officers in, on, and around the monorail. You had to go through security. They were going through bags. You were getting wanded to go in and out. They're taking it serious, as they should. You know, it's unfortunate, but they are taking the necessary precautions. But so it is a little surreal. But, you know, life's got to move forward, and you learn from it and try to make sure that it doesn't happen again.
Absolutely. All right. Well, all right. Let's get into this weekend a little bit. Tony, did you do anything fun before you left for Vegas?
No, you know what? Yeah, well, that's the whole thing, getting ready for Vegas, you know, just packing and getting ready to unpack and, you know, do it again. But just a lot of good racing. Man, such good racing. And, I really enjoyed it. It's, you know, I got some time to, just get things ready for, you know, the fall and all that stuff. But cool. your favorite holiday is right around the corner.
Dude, all right, before we get into that, real quick, Tony, did you see the picture I tweeted out of my Halloween costume at the Halloween party?
I did, and I can't tell you how upset I am that I wasn't there for that.
Tony, that won me $100.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I was so excited about that.
That's
so
awesome.
Which it was so inspired by my favorite holiday, of course.
Right, so I'll back up. I'll set the scene for everybody. Brandon is out there. You know what? What is right after Thanksgiving, right? Do you hold yourself to Thanksgiving before you start decorating for Christmas?
Tony, the lights are going up on Thursday, before I leave for Nashville.
There, okay, so his lights are going up right after
Halloween.
He has two Christmas trees. He has presents. He is Clark Griswold, right? And that's always been the joke amongst everyone in the neighborhood, is that Brandon is Clark Griswold. And so then you went to a Halloween costume party dressed as
Cousin Eddie. Shitter was
Cousin
full.
You even had the hose.
I did have those. You couldn't go with that and not have the hose. So yes, I had the hose.
Right.
If you've missed this picture,
did you go to the hardware store and buy that, or what did you?
No, I took it off the shop vac in the garage. So if you haven't seen the picture, scroll through the Lap Traffic podcast Twitter account media thing there, and you'll definitely run across it. And then Sunday, Tony, Sunday Night Football, Lions. I was there, dude. I don't know what's up with this team, man.
They're not the Lions.
Yeah, that's basically what it is.
They're the Lions.
Yep. Tony, just
they'll tear off three more wins in a row. We'll all get excited again. Then, you know, this is just what they
do. Well, Tony, you're actually going to be at the Monday night game with the Lions versus the Packers.
We'll be at Monday Night Football at Lambeau in a suite, in hostile territory.
So you will not be wearing
no Honolulu blue anywhere near me.
That's funny. Tony, on Facebook today, one of the notifications came up for me, you know, like the history stuff. Tony, it was 1 year ago today that we tweeted out or sent out on Facebook the idea of doing a podcast. So it's been 1 year since this idea has been kicked up, and here we are doing episode number 45.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes.
Hey, man, well, happy anniversary. I didn't even buy you anything.
That's all right.
and I'm still not.
You're still not going to. And Tony, we cracked 17,000 downloads today too.
Nice.
Yes.
Thank you guys so much. Oh my gosh, you guys are awesome.
It's incredible. All right, Tony. Enough of that. You ready to talk some racing? There was some racing this weekend.
Let's talk racing.
All right, Tony. The trucks. Martinsville, race one of round number two. Matt Crafton and Johnny Sauter were putting on a clinic for these young guys during stage one and two. But then, lo and behold, Noah Gregson puts on a clinic for the old guys.
Yep. You know what? We talked about this a week or two ago. Like, the experienced guys are going to rise to the top, right?
Yep.
They've been there. They've done this. And that's what we saw, I think, with Matt Crafton and Johnny Sauter. Still, they finished, what, second and third, right?
Yes. Yeah, and they each won. Crafton won stage one and Sauter won stage two.
Right. So, I mean, I think that's where you're seeing some of the experience come in there. Gregson, man, I mean, he was just due. He's been knocking on that door, and good for him. You know, he got a little excited, a little overexcited.
I saw
the pictures that I've seen. So if you guys didn't hear about it, so he actually physically got sick right there in pit lane on the safety barriers right after he won. He said that one other time when he won, he actually threw up in his helmet. I'm like, so I'm glad he at least got his helmet off this time.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
like Noah Gregson. No, good for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, man, good for him. I mean, he did it. He's doing a great job.
Yeah. Tony, tough break for John Hunter. Brake issue, lap 36. You know, obviously a place like Martinsville, it's tough on the brakes, but that's not something we would have expected to see so early in the race. Any idea what might have caused that? Was it a wheel hop?
So the wheel hop will come from driving in there too deep and you jump on the brakes too hard. That's what causes that stuff. He was trying to push the car. So, I mean, he qualified 17th. He was only up to 16th.
Yeah, he wasn't moving.
He wasn't making any great strides.
No.
So I think he had to try and overdrive, and he had to try and push it a little bit harder, and, you know, and that's what happened. The facts are facts. He just didn't have the setup. So it is what it is. He's got some digging to do. But fingers crossed he gets out of it. But that's unfortunate for those guys.
Absolutely. Tony, for a Martinsville truck race in the playoffs, one thing that kind of surprised me when I went back and kind of looked over the stats from the race was there were only six cautions, two of which were from the stage break. So there were only four natural cautions during the race. Compared to what we saw in the truck or the cup race on Sunday, I was surprised by that.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. When was the truck race ever been cleaner?
Right, yeah.
Than
yeah.
The cup race.
Yeah.
When did that happen last? Yeah, I agree. I thought the race was good. I thought they raced hard. I thought it was a very, very good, hard-fought race all the way through.
And it was still exciting, even though we didn't have that many cautions, you know? So you don't need cautions.
They were bumping and banging. They were digging. You know, but nobody went, you know, over their heads like you would expect some of the younger drivers to do. You know, some of these guys, you know, do that. That happens occasionally. But
sure.
No, I think everybody stayed cool and did a really good job overall.
Yeah, no. And so if we look at the standings here, Tony, with Noah's win, Noah's not in the playoffs. So no one has a guaranteed ticket to Homestead yet in the trucks, and that means at least two drivers are guaranteed to get in on points. That makes things a little bit more interesting.
It does. It does definitely change the whole landscape of what's going to happen there.
You know, as we were talking with John Hunter getting involved in an early wreck there, Tony, he's 28 points off the cut line. That's a tough hole to dig out of, considering we're going to a mile and a half track and then Phoenix.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's going to have to really, really do something special to get out of this.
He very well may need a win or a couple other guys to wreck for him to have a shot to get to Homestead there.
Yeah, it's getting to a point where they are almost in a must-win situation.
Yeah, and just to remind everybody, we've got six drivers competing right now for the four spots that are going to be available in Homestead. Right now, Austin Sindrick and John Hunter are below the cut line. Christopher Bell, Johnny Sauter, Matt Crafton, and Ben Rhodes currently are looking pretty good right now. Tony, next weekend, trucks are under the lights on Friday night at Texas. That's awesome.
Yeah, that should be really good. Being at night, and, you know, here's the thing, is that it changes track temperature and everything so much. So they can work on the car, they can practice and qualify and everything, but once the sun goes down, the track changes so much, it's almost pointless.
Yeah,
setup changes so much.
You'd think they'd give, if you're going to have a night race, you'd think they'd give them at least a practice session at dusk, something just for allowing them.
But when do you do that, on Thursday?
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, hard to do a practice and then race, right?
Yeah, no, I guess, yeah, I was thinking more on the cup side, but yeah.
It'll be interesting. It's a challenge for the drivers and the crew chiefs, without question.
Absolutely. Tony, Xfinity was off. This is their last weekend that they had off. Again, Tony, both now with the trucks and Xfinity, a non-playoff driver has won the first race of this round, so there's no automatic bid to Homestead for any of the Xfinity playoff drivers yet either, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, I think this is going to be really good. Honestly, there's no one that's clearly faster than anyone else in the Xfinity right now. So this has my most attention to me right now. I mean, Christopher Bell, I think, stands out. He's been very fast in the Truck Series. Martin Truex Jr., without question. I think I went to place a bet on him today in Vegas. He's 1.5-1 are the odds, you know. But Xfinity, nobody's, like, jumping out to me as being that clear walk-away winner. What do you think?
Well, you know, it's funny you say that. So when we look at the truck standings and when we look at the cup standings, the Xfinity guys have a much more narrow point margin in terms of who could be in and who could be out. They're only
exactly.
only eight points separate fourth place Brennan Poole and eighth place Cole Custer, whereas right. both in the trucks and the cup, the cut line from these guys is who's in and who's out can be a lot more spread out. Like, you know, for example, if we look back at John Hunter Nemechek, he's 28 points off the cut line. Cole Custer is in last place right now in the Xfinity, but he's only 8 points out. So there's still a right. good shot that 8 points can be made up, where 26 points with John Hunter Nemechek is definitely a much more challenging feat to overcome.
I'll tell you what, I can make up 8 points by putting on right sides only instead of four tires there.
Sure. Right. Yeah. That's
you that. Know, I mean,
and then you catch a caution go, with right. a lucky break there.
Right. With five to go, we stay out. I mean, there's some, you know, I mean, there's crew chief things that can be done to cover eight.
Yeah. Yeah. 26. That's
very,
a tough one.
It's going to be close.
Yep. Tony, Xfinity, race number two of round two is this Saturday night at Texas. Two night races this weekend. I like that there's a couple playoff races for truck and Xfinity under the lights. I wish NASCAR would give the Cup guys a night race. And there's been a lot of talk about how successful and happy everybody was that the lights came on at Martinsville for the first time for those guys.
Yeah, how cool. I mean, there's nothing better in the world than some short track under the lights racing.
Yeah.
There just isn't. We're, you know, you grow up on this stuff, and it's a Saturday night, you know, special. And I would like to see some Friday night races for Truthfully, I mean, I think it would work out better. But you did a two-day show. Everybody came in on Friday. So then you take off on Friday. You go to the track. You see the trucks for Infinity on Friday night. You go see Cup on Saturday night. And you drive home Sunday. And you only had to take a day off, you know, to travel to the track.
Sure.
You know, instead of a Thursday and a Friday or a Monday or something like that. But you can't, you know, you can't really get home on a Sunday night. After you watch a NASCAR race, it's done at 5, 6 o'clock. You're not going to drive, you know, 8, 10 hours home. So I think it makes a lot of sense to do Friday, Saturday night races.
You know, it's funny you say that. You know, when we look at some of the more major sports, you know, most of them are in major cities that might be relatively commutable within, you know, 30, 45 minutes. I wonder, with, you know, everyone talks about, you know, it's a better watching experience at home, cheaper drinks, food, bathroom, all that. I wonder how much that Sunday race and having to get up for work Monday morning plays into a part. You know, not everybody has, you know, 30 vacation days that they can take to take off. You know, maybe they want to take time off, go on a vacation with the family versus taking it off for a race. If there were more Friday, Saturday night, maybe double packages there where Sunday could be your drive home versus having to sit there for the race, I wonder what that might do.
And that's exactly my point. And now also, you're also bumping up against NFL football too, right?
Sure. Yeah, especially
so if
in the fall.
You wanted to go to your, you know, whatever, the Carolina Panthers game or a race, right? That's a conflict or something. So there's lots of competing time right there. But like I said, so if you go, you only have X number of vacation days, we all do.
Yep.
If they don't race on Sunday, you have to leave on Monday. You don't have any more.
Sure.
So you might go there and spend all that money in camp and drive and everything else and not even see the race.
Yeah. Yeah, and at least Saturday, if you got it scheduled Saturday and it rains, that gives you Sunday, worst case scenario kind of thing.
Exactly.
Yep. Yep.
Yep. No, I think there's a big push right now from the crowd base that really wants to see more under the lights short track racing.
Sure, sure. Well, sir, how about I hit some social media?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. All right, everyone, make sure you check out our website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like us on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast, and follow us on Twitter at LapTrafficPC. Make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes or Podbean. Set us on auto download. Drop us a comment. We really appreciate it. And that makes certain you guys get the show as soon as we post it. Don't forget about our contest. We are so close to being able to give away this awesome Lap Traffic t-shirt that's been signed by the entire truck field, with the exception of a few from the Eldora race this past summer, which is awesome. We need 2,000 followers, and we're giving that away. So go tell your friends to follow at LapTrafficPC. Tony, we got some new followers. You ready?
I love it.
All right, here we go. Over on Facebook, Lawrence Friend from Broadway, North Carolina, a big Team Chevy guy. Welcome to the show. And John Gallo from Blaine, Minnesota. Welcome to Lap Traffic. Over on Twitter, Dale Carver at Trollin46 from Grand Blanc, Michigan. We know where that is. Another big NASCAR fan. Welcome to the show. Andrew Treadway at AndrewWT29 from Skedrow Woolley, Washington. Big Dale Jr. fan. Welcome to the show. Joe Tukovitz at J_Tuke34 from Pennsylvania. Big Steelers fan and Harvick fan. I love you for the Harvick. You beat my Lions this weekend. Joe, we got some beef, man. That's all I got to say. Lucy Skabinski at Lucy4Fan, forever big NASCAR fan and St. Louis Blue fan. Guys, welcome to Lap Traffic. We hope you like the show. Tell your friends about us. Don't forget our website. We got $15 t-shirts. The holidays are right around the corner. If you haven't gotten a t-shirt yet and you want one, tell your wife, your girlfriend, your kids, whomever, hey, get me a Lap Traffic t-shirt. How about that, Tony? How about that for a Christmas plug right there? You like that?
That's a great – that's a good job there, Chris.
Thank you.
Walt.
Thank you.
That's nice. And you know what? And by the way, I got it. We say it all the time, but, man, you guys – you know, we send out stickers and koozies and everything. We love when you guys tweet out the pictures and send us those pictures from the – you know, one of our koozies were – we weren't at Martinsville. It was.
Absolutely.
You know, this week. And that's – man, that we love that stuff. So keep it coming, guys.
And to be honest, Tony, it's funny you say that because – earlier this afternoon, I put like 7 pictures up on our website of people that have tweeted us their pictures. So if you want to check it out, make sure you go to the website, The Lab Traffic Podcast, click on the fan picks and any picks that you guys have sent us. I've tried to put them up there. If I miss one, tag it to me and I'll get it up there for sure. And if you want some stickers and koozies, fill out our contact us form page on the website with your name and address and we'll send one out to you. Tony, you ready for some fantasy? We're getting close, man. 3 races left.
Yeah, hey, speaking of fantasies, did I mention that I met Kim Coons today?
I think you're safe on that one.
Oh, different. Oh, sorry. We'll talk later. Never mind.
Tony, we had 5 players pick Kyle Busch. Aaron, Chad, Chris Lowther, Cody, and Rion all picked the 18 at Martinsville. Nice job, guys. Tony, with 3 races left, we got a battle for the top 5 right now. Tony, we got a two-way
we got a two-way
tie for first between Mick and Cody with 230 points. Chris Lowther is in second. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, you know, if I would have stuck with my call with Brad Keselowski at Talladega, I would have been in that conversation kicking myself.
Yeah, well.
Should have gone with 4 tires. I knew it.
Chris Lowther is in second with 225 points. We've got a two-way tie for third between Wes and Aaron with 220. Chris Coble's in fourth with 215. We have a 3-way tie for fifth between our crew chief, Tony, Rich, and Chad with 200. And the professor still sitting back there in 11th with 160. So, everyone, make sure you get your picks in. We got 3 races left. It's obviously going to come down to your final 4 picks and championship driver picks to decide who wins some autographed pictures, who wins some swag, and who wins some koozies and stuff. So, everyone, again, thanks so much for playing. Don't forget your picks. We're still working on fantasy for next year. And, Tony, by the end of the week, our ballots for the driver of the year, race of the year, parity account of the year.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yes. Well, yeah. that'll be up by this weekend, probably Friday sometime, to be honest with you. We'll tweet it out and plug it. That'll give everybody a couple weeks, and then maybe after Homestead or whatever, we'll have a separate show for that. That honestly will probably end up being our 50th show, so we'll end up finishing the season with 50 shows, which is going to be awesome, and then we'll do some best ofs during the month of December there.
That is so cool.
Yes.
I love
it. Awesome.
I've seen a draft version of this, of the survey here, what do you call it?
The ballot.
The ballot, yeah. It's really cool. So you guys will like it.
Yes, yes. Tony, you want to talk some Cup, man? What a race.
That was what racing should be.
Absolutely.
Right there.
Absolutely. So race one, round 3. Brad Keselowski was kicking ass at the beginning and was looking to do pretty well there towards the end. You know, Tony, Brad had given the impression that he needed a win at Martinsville to get to Homestead just because of Ford guys lacking some speed at the mile and a half track that they're going to go to at Texas this week. What do you think? Does he still have a shot to make it, even though he didn't get the win?
I think he's still got a shot. I mean, he's still in a Penske car. Brad's a good driver. You know, Paul Wolf is top shelf crew chief. You know, do they have a shot? They do. But they have the deck stacked against them a little bit right now. But, you know, racing luck is racing luck, you know. I mean, a lot of these guys are a flat tire away from, you know, a change in points. So I think he has a chance, but he's going to have to keep working. This was his shot. And they darn near pulled it off. They had a great run.
Absolutely. Tony, I got to give some props to Martin Truex Jr. Not that he needs any, but, you know, Martinsville, typically not a track you would expect too much from him. Over the years, he's got a few top tens, nothing really to brag about, but he almost got it done again. He finished second.
I know, right? Like, the guy is, I mean, he's on a roll. They're hot. And they're staying hot, and full credit to him and his team because they've not let up at all.
No.
And, yeah, I mean, you know, got to give credit where credit's due, right?
Tony, what'd you think about Harvick and Blaney getting into it almost the entire last stage there? Harvick did not have much in terms of a car, in terms of what I would view a typical car I'd like to see Harvick have. He ended up finishing fifth almost from a luck perspective. You know, he spun across the start-finish line backwards, basically. Blaney finished eighth. Tony, to be honest, you know, I know Harvick's temper. I was expecting some fists to fly after that race. They had a discussion. It was definitely a heated discussion and with a little, shoulder punch there at the end. What'd you think of what they had going on the track?
It was just good short track racing. I mean, I tweeted to you, right, or texted you, like, Harvick is going to beat the quarter panel completely off of Blaney's car.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You remember?
Yep.
Like, I mean, that went on all afternoon, or that entire third stage. He wailed on him the entire time. But Blaney, to his credit, he wasn't giving ground.
No.
Like, if you can get around me, you can get around me. You know, he didn't wreck him, he didn't dump him, you know, he raced him hard, and he wanted by, but you're right, he didn't have the car to get by him.
No.
And Blaney said,
I know
Blaney
you don't
said,
have the car.
I'm letting you by.
Yeah, well, that's two playoff drivers fighting for Homestead is what that was, and after the race, Harvick, you know, he even said, short track racing, I love it, bring it on, you know.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
Tony, 2 weeks in a row, we've had the big one after Talladega, Kansas, and now Martinsville. I have never seen a finish like that at Martinsville before, or a short track like that, where basically brake checked the entire field at the start-finish line at the last lap. That was intense. I can't imagine how long it took to finish score in that race.
Yeah, thank God for – no, they have transponders, right? Thank God, right? So that they can get it correct. But here's the thing. Imagine, like, working on a crew going, all right, man, we survived Martinsville. We don't have to rebuild this car. This is wonderful. Oh, crap. You know, just slide across the finish line backwards, right? Like, oh, you got to be kidding me. You know, we went, 504 and three-quarter laps, you know. Perfect.
Totally. Yep.
And
yeah.
Now the car's destroyed.
It's done. Yeah.
No way that just happened.
No. You know? Yeah. Tony, what were your thoughts on the second-to-last restart with Denny and Chase? What's your take? And I'll give mine after you give yours.
My take on it is Denny pushed it a little too hard. I think he went a little beyond pushing there. But, you know, here's the thing. It's a product of the environment. He has got to win. You win, and you're in the Final Four, right? There's lots and lots and lots at stake here. So I'm sorry if I got to push you. I'm sorry, but I got to go. And if you were behind me, you'd probably do the same thing. I think he pushed a little more than normal, but, you know, it's the environment. I mean, they've made the rules that stakes are high, and you've got to go. So that's my two cents on it.
Yeah, you know, I don't disagree. You know, NASCAR has built this to be a winner-take-all perspective, which I like. It's fun, but that's going to create some outcomes that might not have happened in other circumstances. If we were just racing on points, Denny Hamlin doesn't do that at the end. But because that...
I agree.
Yeah, you know, because the win is crucial and critical, and only one driver is going to make it in on points potentially... that definitely played a factor into the aggression as to why Denny did what he did. I don't know that necessarily makes it right, but that I think that needs to be taken into consideration when we're looking at right and wrong and what's at stake. I think the big question is how do you correct for that? And is there a way to correct for that?
I don't think you do. It's short track racing. It's the playoffs. It's the end of the year. You know, the stakes are high.
Yeah, no, totally.
You know, I don't know that you do. I don't know that you want to.
No,
that's
well,
what
if,
we're there for.
Did you know Dale Jr. posted a video and said if we had races like this every week, there wouldn't be enough seats and tickets. You know, we got 13 1.5 mile tracks next year. That's going to piss a lot of people off after being able to watch a race like this. You know what I'm saying?
And then that means I'll have 13 naps. next summer, and I'll turn on the TV at the end of it, and I'll watch the Martin Truex Jr. interview in Victory Lane, and you know, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I get
the, like Landing Castle hit it. Though the mile and a half tracks are so dialed in on aero that the winner's determined in simulation.
Sure.
It's determined in the wind tunnel before they even get to the racetrack.
Yeah. Yep. Don't disagree. Tony, Denny did not make many new fans at the race, and Chase definitely gained a bunch. Tony, Chase is going to get a win. We've been saying that. I'm honestly impressed in terms of how he handled himself and the fact of how he's risen to the occasion here in the playoffs. I'll be honest. I didn't think he was going to get to the round of eight, you know, and almost had a shot to get to Homestead.
No, Chase is fantastic. I mean, we all love Chase, and he's doing great. But, you know, here's one of the things that I wonder is, all right, if Denny Hamlin wrecked, who's a lesser popular driver, if he dumped Jamie McMurray in that situation, are we talking about it right now?
No. Nope.
Probably not.
But we're talking about probably the future driver of the year for the next 15 years.
Right.
As well as a humbled ambassador for the sport that, you know, NASCAR is going to look to have him carry NASCAR on their shoulders for a while. So, which is good.
Right.
We need that transition. But I get what you're saying 100%.
Right. So what I'm saying is, right, so are we mad about what Denny did or who he did it to?
Sure.
Right? And I tweeted out, I mean, all right, if that was the black number three in second place that dumped him, you know, 80% of the place would be on their feet cheering. You know, Dale did that 150 times.
You know,
it's you gotta just keep things in perspective. Like, you can't have your cake and eat it too.
And no, I agree. You know, it's you know, we've got a guy that's going to be the future of the sport that's craving, and everybody's craving for him to get that first win. And the fact that he's come close so many times this season, you know, that played a role in that. If Chase had won earlier in the season and this had happened, I don't know it would have been as big a deal as it was.
I agree.
Tony, so did you read, and I'm going to read it out here real quick because it's not long. Did you see Denny Hamlin's apology?
Yeah.
Denny Hamlin issued an apology to the fans and Chase Elliott on Twitter. "I've raced nearly 10,000 races since I was seven," Hamlin wrote. "Sunday was the first time I've ever spun out the leader. I regret the outcome because it was not intentional the way it turned out, but I'm responsible for my own car and take blame. Nothing I say can turn back the clock, but it's a life lesson and hope no kids out there aspire to race the way that you should do. It's becoming normal in our sport now, and I hate that I'm now in the discussion as a guilty party, but I'll move on and hope Chase, his team, and fans accept my apology." Tony, speaking of Landon Castle, our friend Landon Castle picked up on something there and retweeted out that apparently Denny's raced 300 races a year since he was 7 years old to hit 10,000 races.
And
I thought that was hysterical.
leave it to Landon to nail him on that. But you know what? Landon also... You know, remember when he and DiBurrito got into it at Bristol, and DiBurrito apologized to him and tweeted out and everything, and Landon said, "Man, it's a stock car race, and I'm not much for apologies."
Right. Right.
And he's right.
You know, Tony, one thing that I've seen come across Twitter a lot, and not just with this race, this season in general, has been the comparison of NASCAR to WWE and wrestling, which I think is ironic just because I'm such a big wrestling fan myself. But I think what's funny is, you know, everyone says that the sport needs drama and we need the drivers to be more passionate. But then when that happens, they label it as being wrestling and too scripted and too fake. I can't tell you. I've been to probably close to 50 wrestling shows in my life. And the way that the crowd was booing and cheering when Denny Hamlin was shown and when Chase was shown and when they were being interviewed after the race and it was on the PA system at the track. I felt like I was sitting at Monday Night Raw in the Attitude Era there, but was,
I know, right?
You know, like it was intense.
But you know what? Like it or not, it was good, intense stuff.
Absolutely.
Right?
If you're not bought into what we're going to get at Homestead and these last three races, I mean, what do you want? You know, at this point, like this is.
No, I know, and I hope and pray we have good racing at Texas. I don't think we're gonna. But
I think we will at Phoenix.
You know, we're we're welded to those tracks, and it is what it is. But
yeah,
I would prefer, you know, going to a couple of more short tracks. But
absolutely,
that's just my personal opinion.
Tony, I just want to hit a few other numbers here. Kyle Larson, man, back-to-back bad weeks for the 42 team there, man.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Good day for Roush Fenway. Trevor Bain finished sixth, and Stenhouse top 10. That's a solid day for that team.
They've been finishing really good. Actually, I think Bain finished, what, fourth or something at fifth at Talladega?
I'll take your word for it.
Bain's been making a push lately.
Yeah, no,
so,
totally.
Yeah, no, good for him, man. Yeah.
Clint Bowyer, he brought top three. That's, I think, his best finish of the season, to be honest with you there, which is, yep. You know, we were talking about him last week in terms of, you know,
how relevant is he anymore?
Right. Yeah. You know, so that was,
I called it. Yeah. Yeah. But he, man, it's cool. Make me a liar. I'm okay.
Hey, absolutely. Dale Jr. finished 11th. Jimmy Johnson, who basically owns Martinsville outside of Denny Hamlin. You know, and it's funny. I wonder, too, we talked about this last week as well, that Jimmy Johnson and Denny Hamlin have basically owned Martinsville over the last decade, so to speak. You know, I wonder, too, how much that might have played a role in the outcome there with Hamlin.
Yeah, you know, there's always pressure, right? It's his home track, basically, you know. And he wants to go. You're down under 10 laps to go. I've got to go. Maybe he just got a little, you know, honestly, maybe he just hit the brakes 2 feet deeper into that corner than he had before. Maybe Chase didn't get off that corner as fast as he had the 5 previous laps. You know, we're not in the cars.
Sure,
right?
Yeah.
But, it happened and whatever. But, you know, going back to Jimmy Johnson, remember, he had a spin in practice. He had to start at the back.
Yes.
So his car was fully used up by they get into that third stage.
Absolutely.
He's out of brakes. He's out of everything.
And, you know, so I was looking, I was setting a DraftKings lineup that I wasn't doing since, you know, I like week 10 when I said I was done. And I was looking at Jimmy Johnson. I'm like, ooh, he's starting at the back. But he did not, they gave him his qualifying spot. So Jimmy Johnson technically didn't start making points until he, I think, cracked the top 20 based on where they actually had him set to qualify for. So he didn't qualify in the back. So.
Right, but you know what I'm saying, though?
By
the time he got the 20th, he had used his car twice as much as everyone else around him.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Just to get to that point.
Yep. Tony, so after the first race of round three, we got Martin Truex Jr., Kyle Busch has stamped his ticket to Homestead, the only person and driver in all three series to have a guaranteed ticket. Brad Keselowski and Kevin Harvick are top four at the moment. Johnson, Blaney, Hamlin, and Elliott are out as they stand. Do you think anything changes there?
I don't know, man. I think Blaney can still make a run. I don't know. This is really coming down to the wire.
This
is good stuff.
What I think is going to be interesting is at Texas. Everybody's got Martin Truex Jr. pegged to win Texas. Mile and a half track. He's been down. Right. Like, how do you not have him picked to win? I think it will be interesting if he does not win at Texas. One, because of the expectation. You know, how does the team rise up to this type of expectation that's now on him based on the season that he's had? And based on that, if he doesn't win, does that potentially open up more an extra driver to get in on points, which I think that could definitely impact things if we're coming down to Phoenix with, you know, maybe a playoff driver doesn't win Texas. Who knows? Anything could potentially happen here. But what is interesting, 26 points separate Chase Elliott in eighth and Kevin Harvick in fourth. Based on the extra points that these guys have gotten throughout the season with the stages and the race wins, 26 points for Chase Elliott could be a tough task to handle, kind of like our friend John Hunter in the trucks.
Yeah, that's a big hill to climb.
He very well may need to win a race to get in, and based on what everyone's predicting in terms of Martin Truex winning Texas, and a lot of people are picking Kevin Harvick to win Phoenix. And Tony, you know me, I'm a Kevin Harvick slappy, and I do not have that happening.
He's not been – well, this has been a different year for him, right?
Yes.
It's This isn't Kevin Harvick of old. You know, there. I think it's the manufacturer change and everything has set them back only a little bit.
Only a little bit.
I think they've done well.
You know, I was.
He's not a guaranteed lock like he was.
No. I'll be honest. I was surprised that Kevin Harvick only has one win this season. I'm surprised that the track it came at was Sonoma. I would have expected it at a track like Phoenix, Martinsville, and not Martinsville, Bristol, where he's won at recently.
Yeah, Bristol, right.
You know, right. So that said, I don't know that Phoenix is a lock. Yes, he's owned it in the past, but the team just hasn't been. Now, in the playoffs, they've stepped it up quite a bit, you know, to battle and to get that top five at Martinsville. I was expecting him to get, you know, a top 10, top 15, and had to win. He has a chance to race in on points as it stands now, which I like that spot a lot better than where they were at the end of stage two at Martinsville. So interesting there, you know, and, you know, Jimmy Johnson. He's sitting in fifth. He's not in right now. Jimmy Johnson can win at any track he goes to. We know Chad Knaus can definitely dial it up when need be. So they are in a crucial spot too there. So it's interesting. And when I look at it from that regard, and Denny Hamlin sitting in seventh after all of the chaos that he caused, Denny Hamlin has made the playoffs and made it to the round of eight and made it to Homestead, and he hasn't gotten it done yet. And I have to think that was sitting in his mind, like, I have got to get this done. There are guys around me that are growing in this sport that are going to be the future of the sport. I need to get this win. I need to get to Homestead. So from that regard, while I don't agree with what he did, I understand what he did.
Right. That's what I said. They're a product of the environment.
Yep. Right? Yep.
These are the rules, and they're playing to the rules.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. Nope.
He felt bad about it. I mean, the guy's been racing 500 races a year, and, you know,
Oh, 300. Yeah, 300, 300. Tony, anything else you got from Martinsville?
No, just good short track racing. Good to see it under the lights. That was cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
A Saturday night race there would have been so cool.
That would have been awesome. Well, they headed to Texas.
I've got to get to Martinsville.
I want to get to Martinsville, too. You know what, Tony? If Eldora doesn't happen next year, but Martinsville does, I'd be okay with it. We still got the plans for next year. We got to work out in terms of what races we'll go to. Michigan, June and August is a guarantee, but we'd like to get somewhere else and meet some new fans.
Chicago would be pretty easy to do.
Chicago's easy.
We can drive to Chicago, so that wouldn't be so bad. But just as a reminder, we have T-shirts and hoodies and everything for sale. It would all help.
Tony, we head to Texas and Phoenix to finish out round three before we get to the final four at Homestead. I'm dialed in. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm so ready. I want to see the end of this play out so bad.
Yes. Yeah, I am with you. You ready for a little silly season discussion there, sir?
Yeah, let's get silly.
Tony, it was announced last week, Bubba Wallace, full-time in the 43 car. I mean, no real shocker there, but what are your thoughts?
No real shocker. It's good to see him in that ride. I know that, Richard Petty's been high on getting him in the car for a while, you know, after filling in for Eric. I think they got to know each other, and I think it's a good pairing. I think Bubba needs the ride. I think RPM needs that boost. And I think it should be good. And that, I don't know if I read everything right, but did they work everything out with their sponsor now?
So that's funny you say that.
To being friends? Or?
So Smithfield Foods apparently has resolved the issue that they've had with RPM and will still sponsor RPM, but the primary sponsorship will be with Stuart Haas. Tony, this was dirty. Like, they were taking shots at each other when this first broke that there was a conflict of interest, if you will, and things were getting out of hand. Like, I was not expecting to see a resolution between these two at all.
No, neither did I. I thought that door had officially closed, but I think Smithfield Foods maybe sees the opportunity now has maybe changed a little, adding Bubba to the fold, and and publicity would be a little bit higher and expectations would be a little bit higher. So at the end of the day, I want a healthy NASCAR. I want happy sponsors. I want, you know, financially stable teams. You know, you remember there's a lot of people that work in those race shops. You know, there's people that answer the phones. There's people that empty the trash cans. There's guys that are the crew chiefs and everybody in between. And I want everybody to be happy and healthy. Hopefully Smithfield sticks around.
Yeah. They've been around a long time. It's nice that they're staying in the sport. We've seen a lot of sponsors have up and left, which is, a struggle for teams out there.
And I'm going to tell you something. You couldn't find a better product representative than Richard Petty. I've seen him three times today at the SEMA show in different booths signing thousands of autographs. The guy never says no to anybody. I mean, the guy is, he's the king, right?
Absolutely.
He's the king.
Absolutely. Tony, exciting news for one of our friends of the show. Matt Crafton will be back at Thor Motorsports for 2018.
Oh, I hadn't heard that. That's awesome.
Yes. I'm excited for that. Hopefully we can get him back on at some point in the time, in the future, 2018, after a win.
Hopefully he can win a race without our help. My gosh.
I know. We can't do everything for him. If we ever do get him back on, we are going to have to tell him that, and I hope he doesn't hang up.
No, absolutely. He's fine.
And Tony, this is funny. Talk of Danica moving over to Roush.
I had not heard that.
Yes. It was on J-Ski today. Nothing official, just rumors, pure speculation. But that would definitely be interesting. What would happen if her and Ricky broke up? Could you imagine? Could you imagine debriefing meeting Monday morning?
No, I can't. No.
I wonder if it's in the handbook. You will not.
Right, and maybe that's why they're not married. They maybe need a little. Like, you go to your place tonight, I'll go to my place. They need, they can't race together. They can't be at work, live together, everything together, the whole time. Especially can't go to my, you definitely can't go to my race shop.
Right.
There's got to be a separation point. Yeah, that'd be tough.
Yeah, yeah. So there was like days a couple years ago when I worked from home and Lindsay would work from home like one or two days a week. And when she worked from home, like she was in my space. Like we each have, our own office in the house because we don't have kids, so we don't have to have a playroom. So the two spare bedrooms are each own individual office. And like I remember sending out on Facebook when we were doing this, like, man, the chick in the office next to me won't shut the hell up. Like,
no, I know. That's what I'm saying, though. Like, maybe that's why they're not married yet. I mean, once we retire, we can get married or something.
Right?
You're totally invading my space.
Yes. Yes. Totally.
No, I hadn't heard that, though.
No, yeah, I saw that. Yeah, it was posted earlier today. Who knows what'll happen? I just thought it was interesting. Tony, are you ready to go to work? Do something for a change? Come on.
I can do that.
All right, here we go.
It's time for another segment of the Crew Chief Corner with the Lap Traffic's very own Crew Chief, Tony Smith.
All right, a little special edition of the Crew Chief Corner this week. Tony, instead of some questions from the listeners, you are live at the SEMA show in Las Vegas. It happens once a year. You talked a little bit about it earlier. Tony, what is SEMA? Why is it so important to the auto industry, and what have you been doing there?
So the SEMA stands for the Specialty Equipment Manufacturers Association. So if you own a shop and you sell tires, you sell shocks, you sell brakes, you sell whatever, this is where you go to meet everybody that makes tires, shocks, brakes, paint, shifters, transmissions, anything you've ever seen attached to a car, radio systems, four-wheel drives, it doesn't matter. They literally are all here. The entire town of Vegas is jammed with car stuff overflowing into parking lots. If you're into cars, this is where you got to go. It's not open to the public. You have to be a SEMA member, but it's pretty easy to get in to become a SEMA member. So if you're into cars, This is absolute car hat.
And Tony, you actually got a little, this is one of the times we're having this podcast has come into a perk. You know, we get media access at MIS. You were able to actually get media credentials for the SEMA show.
Yep, I have full media credentials here. Tomorrow morning, and Ellis is not NASCAR, but one of the coolest ones, I've only been to it once. Tomorrow morning, they have an NHRA breakfast, like all the drag racers.
Oh, cool.
And that's, man, these guys come up, like John Force and Don Prudhomme, all these guys, they get up on stage, and they just tell these hilarious stories about stuff that happens in the pits and happened over time, and it's hysterical. So I get to go to that.
That's,
you know,
very
I got
cool.
I go to a lot of cool things today, so yeah.
Nice.
It's been fun.
Now, Tony, you actually sent a little interview over to me. Who'd you talk to earlier today?
I talked to a guy named Kyle Petty.
Wow, I've never heard of him before.
May or may not have heard of him.
Tony, how about I play that, and you can tell us a little bit about it afterwards. Sound good?
Yeah, let's hit it.
All right.
All right, here with Kyle Petty at the Petty Garage booth here at the 2017 SEMA Show. How you doing, Kyle?
Doing good. Doing good.
You guys have a great booth here. I don't think a lot of people know about all the great products you guys make. I have a ton of stuff on my Hemi Challenge. Yeah. You guys do stuff for Mustangs. You do lots of cool stuff. Tell us about your booth and tell us about the SEMA Show.
You're looking at the wall. You're looking at the trinkets and trash, the sway bars, the springs, the brackets, all the stuff. They do a lot with Mustangs, a lot with Challengers. Obviously, there's a Superbird sitting over here, which is bad to the bone.
That is
cool. And they do a lot of custom stuff. You know, they do a lot of custom older cars and stuff. And that's basically what we started in, what my dad started in. When we closed down the race shop and moved over to Charlotte with the race shop, the old shop, which was Petty's Garage, my grandfather's race shop, Lee Petty Engineering, then became Petty Enterprises, it just sat empty, and he hated to see it empty. So he got a bunch of guys together, and they started working on some old cars, and now it's evolved into what it is, and here we are at SEMA, and SEMA is psychotic.
Right, like, how do you explain SEMA to someone that's never been? I try to do it all the time, but you can't.
You can't. You can't explain SEMA to someone who if you love cars, and you love anything that makes a car flashier, go fast, or high performance, or paint, or whatever it is, then this is heaven. This is where you go when you die. You go to SEMA.
Yeah,
you
know? I agree. No, yeah. I agree entirely. But like I said, it's trying to explain, you know, I don't know what. You just can't get your head around it. But yeah, I was trying to, like, there's 1 million square feet of wheels and tires here. Like,
yes.
That's insanity,
yes.
Right? So, but over to the NASCAR side, great race this last week. Martinsville was as built, right, as it should be.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on it? A lot of controversy, lots of boos, lots of cheers. What are your thoughts?
There was some good racing. I thought most of the race was really good. I thought what Denny Hamlin did was uncalled for. That's not racing. That's just wrecking people. And we've seen that at Martinsville before a couple of years ago with a Penske driver and a Gibbs driver. So, I mean, and that's history. So I'm not naming names. That's just history now. But what Denny did was wrong. What Chase did to get the lead from Brad Keselowski, just rub on his door and running high. What Kyle Busch did to Denny, just put the bumper to him and ease him up out of the lane, not crash him, just ease him up. That's pretty much racing. So I thought there was some great racing in the end, but I think the controversy overrides that. And, you know, Denny got booed and Chase got cheered, and I think Chase is that's the future of what the sport's going to be. I think Junior and Danica and some of those what we consider our most popular drivers retiring, I think Chase pretty much takes over that now, and it was obvious on Sunday.
Yeah, I think that came through real loud and clear about that. But now, you know, there's a big controversy as well. Like, is it necessary to go back and apologize to drivers afterwards? I mean, growing up, did you see Kale apologize? Did your dad apologize? I mean, did you apologize to drivers at the end of races?
Yeah, what you did when you got home, you would sit down and write a letter. Like a thank you note or a condolences note that I'm sorry. Shit, no, you didn't apologize. No. That is not the point. You know, here's the point. We live in a society where everybody gets a participation ribbon, which is BS in the first place, okay? The deal is when you go to the racetrack, your job is to beat 39 other competitors. Not to like them, not to go to dinner with them, not to invite them over for Christmas, not to buy them birthday presents. That's not your job. Your job is to kick their butt six ways from Sunday and be dang proud that you did it. And if you wreck somebody or you get into somebody, that's part of racing, because they're going to do it to you at some point in time. And that's part of racing too. What Denny did by wrecking somebody, I think intentionally, yeah, you need to step up. Yeah. That's different.
Cross the line.
Yeah, that's across the line. So that ventures into another category. What Chase Elliott did to Brad Keselowski, what Kyle Busch did to Denny Hamlin, no, you don't have to apologize. What Kevin Harvick did almost the entire race to Ryan Blaney, just tore that rear bumper off.
I was waiting for it to fall off the car.
Don't apologize. Right. I mean, that's what you're there for.
Right.
You're there to get around that guy in front of you. And what Kevin did that was really cool was Kevin beat on him, but Kevin never turned him.
You're absolutely
Kevin
right.
Gave him an opportunity every time he hit him. So, no, you don't apologize. And if you're in a sport where you come to win, you shouldn't apologize for winning.
Yeah. All right, I appreciate it, Kyle. Thanks so much. Enjoy SEMA and appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you, man.
Shit, no, you don't apologize. How awesome was that,
yeah,
man?
I love that. I had to remember to keep the microphone under his mouth because I just collapsed laughing. You know, like I had to hold my arm up still, like, oh my gosh. No, you go home, you write him a letter. No. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
So,
I love it. That's awesome.
And I agree with everything he said.
Tony, you know, so...
And Petty Garage makes great stuff. I literally do. I wasn't being nice to him. I have tons of Petty stuff on my Challenger.
That's good awesome. Stuff. So, tomorrow, you got a little interview lined up, apparently, eh?
Yeah, I do. It would be his daddy. Actually, a guy named McCain. So I'm going to be chatting with him. Want to get his take on 2018, lots of changes at RPM. And, so that should be interesting as well.
So hopefully, we don't know, but Tony's going to ask if he can record the interview. And if he can, then we'll have that next week for you guys.
Yeah, that should be good. Also, I'll be there for another podcast that's much smaller than us, The Glass Case of Emotion.
Yeah, I don't know who they are.
But my friend Kim Kuhn, I don't know if I mentioned that I know Kim Kuhn, but Kim Kuhn invited me to be on set for the podcast with Ryan Blaney with Kim Kuhn.
Tony,
and, I'll be there too.
You know, I try to think of a lot of things in advance, and I can't believe that I didn't give you like a stack of koozies to hand out to people.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
I know. That's my job, and I forgot. didn't even cross my mind till now. That would have been awesome. Oh well, something tells me you'll be there next year, and we'll still be doing this next year. So
you need to come to this,
dude.
You need to be here because your eyes would fall out of your head.
I can't believe
this show.
You know what? Let's pencil that one
in
for next year.
Off season. We need to talk about that.
Yeah, I like that idea. I like that. You guys just got a live show meeting right there.
So, I mean, honestly, like there's a bunch of other drivers that are going to be here. You know, Ryan Blaney, Keselowski, Logano, Kyle Larson. They're all going to be around. So I'm trying to snipe as many of these guys as I can. So I may or may not have.
Good thing we got business cards now. Pass them bad boys out.
We do, and you know who has one of my business cards with my personal cell phone number?
Who's that?
Kim Kuhn.
Oh, well, let's get her on the show.
My room number, hotel. I'm kidding.
All right, Tony, you ready for some lucky dogs of the race?
Yeah.
Tony, who's your lucky dog?
Noah Gregson.
I like it.
Did a great job, man. You can't take it away from him. He's been fighting all year, and he did it, man. He pulled it off.
Absolutely. Tony, I am going with Kevin Harvick. For one, I have not had many times to nominate him for my lucky dog, but he did not have a top five car, battled, and was able to take advantage of the end of the race and was able to get a top five. Takes a little pressure off him. He's in fourth place right now. So as it stands, he's going to Homestead. So he's my lucky dog.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. He did well.
Tony, who are you putting a lap down?
I'm not putting anyone a lap down, and I know it sounds, man, it's been, this is twice now recently
yes.
I've done this. I loved this weekend. It was awesome.
Fantastic.
What about you?
So I actually have two. And for one, the first one is...
Okay, so you're taking one of mine?
I'm taking yours, yes. I'm putting NASCAR a lap down for the mere fact of that we're going to have 13 mile-and-a-half races next year, which is half of the season.
Ooh.
So, yes. And the second lap down goes to the dumbass fan who made a scene with Denny Hamlin on pit road after the race and could really potentially jeopardize some of the access that fans and some sponsor people might get with the sport, because that definitely crossed the line what that fan with hot passes did in terms of hopping over pit road. I'm sorry, pit wall, which is a no-no, even if you have hot passes, walking out on there during the interview and trying to confront Denny Hamlin. I'm sure that there was some things maybe that had occurred, and that was just uncalled for.
That guy was crazy.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. So, you know, I thought of immediately, because we get these credentials, and we're really super happy about them and protect them, you know.
Yep.
Man, somebody gave him a hot pass, and somebody is going to get in trouble
yes.
for that.
Yeah, yeah.
That was crazy.
Yes.
Literally crazy.
Yep. That is not what you want to see. And like I said, that could really, NASCAR could really scrutinize in terms of who they allow now to have hot passes because of a situation like that.
And they should. After that.
They should, but you know, you don't hear about this too often. You know, unfortunately, it's one bad apple in a bushel that you know could ruin
totally.
Experiences for a lot of people because of that, which is a shame. So
yeah,
for
no,
that,
I totally agree. And you know what his complaint was? He's a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
No. He's. I mean, I understand he's a young man, but he's at the top level. He's. You know, he jumped in the pool.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
He's not. You don't. Like, oh, well, he's a kid, so
yeah.
just let him win.
Yeah.
No. Like Kyle Petty said, you know, you're there to kick the crap out of 39 other guys, and he's one of them. Sorry,
yep.
he's not a kid.
Sure. No, I agree. Yep. Tony, ready for some listener picks?
Yeah.
All right.
I love this part.
Tony, we got some new picks from some people we don't hear from too often, which is really cool. So Linda at @RacingGal_FL's lucky dog is Chase Elliott. Lap down Denny Hamlin for dumping him. Tony, you may start to recognize a pattern or a theme here. You just chime in whenever you notice that, okay?
I'm thinking there's going to be a pattern.
Rich at ZIMPR's lucky dog, his kids and the 87-pound bags of candy they got. Lap down the sport. Steve at SC Linden's lucky dog, the fans for being able to see a great race. Lap down. Hamlin is his lap down and will be for the rest of the season. This was a permanent marker for Denny Hamlin. Mick at Go Ducks 42_Mick's lucky dog, Denny Hamlin. He made it out of Martinsville alive. Lap down. The fans for throwing stuff onto the track. It's okay to be pissed, but let's be cool about it. Rekha Porter at Hazel Gator Girls, lucky dog, the 18 for winning the race. Lap down Hamlin for wrecking Chase and the rest of the field. Bruce at Junior Spotter 45's lucky dog is Truex for racing Bush like a gentleman. Hashtag class act. Lap down Trevor Bain for breaking, brake checking Chase Elliott while being a lap down himself. William at @V_Wilson429's lucky dog is Landon Huffman and Mason Diaz Racing for a good truck run. Lap down Hamlin with the bumper, you just move people up. Carbon copy Austin Cindric. Hugh at Bucky5.
You know what? I'll back up for a second. That Mason Diaz really had a good run.
Yes, they did. Yeah, they had
this
two cars
out
there.
He's really good. That was cool.
Yep. Hugh at Bucky515's lucky dog is Gregson's truck win. Lap down Hamlin, because who else could it be? Kayla at KEJRN88's lucky dog, lights on at Martinsville. Lap down the 11 for wrecking Chase. Hate that for the 24 team. Kevin Likas, lucky dog, Samantha Bush for getting to go to Homestead to watch her husband compete for the championship. Lap down / black flag Hamlin for purposely wrecking Chase. If tables were turned, Denny would be whining like a little baby. Troy at Spoiler Warning One's Lucky Dog Landing Castle's tweet for making fun of the number of races from Denny Hamlin. Lap
that
down.
That was awesome.
Lap down Todd Gordon Pitt, you fool. LOL. Jeff at Grey Wolf Pack 5's Lucky Dog Crew Chief Tony for getting his picture taken with the Holy Grail. Now, to be fair, I'm not sure if Jeff is talking about Kim Coon or the trophy. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either, but they were both pretty cool. I'll tell you what, that trophy is gigantic.
It looked pretty big. I'm not even going to lie. I hope they make a little replica of that.
Like if Chase Elliott or one of these guys picks it up, they might tip over. Like, I don't know that there's no way somebody's putting it over their head. I'm going to tell you that.
I think it weighs like 75, 80 pounds, something like that. Like it's not
big.
Light.
It's
yeah.
big.
I wonder how much the current one weighs with the checkered flag thing.
I have no idea. I did find out that it holds 380 ounces of Monster Energy. I was told that.
If Brad Keselowski wins, I mean, he drank a lot of beer off that Miller Cup that was given to him.
It's going to be 380 ounces of Miller Lite.
Jeff's lap down is nobody. Let him race. Guys, big thanks to everyone that has submitted your picks. I love the fact, before when we first started doing this, I had to send out quite a few tweets. I don't even have to tweet it out anymore. People are just sending in your picks. I love that. And don't forget our announcement from last week. Starting next season, you guys are going to be able to call in live when we're recording and give your picks for the show and talk about the race, which I'm really excited about for that. We got some positive feedback on that, so I think that's going to be a lot of fun next year and little something new that we're going to try out.
Yeah. This one's all on you, just so you know. I'm just putting it out there.
Tony's along for the ride.
Now, if it goes well, I'll take full credit.
Obviously.
I'm just saying, though.
Obviously.
If it doesn't.
We get some random troll that calls in, like, halfway through the show and just yells out balls or something like that. That one will be
exactly.
on me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, going to happen.
It will. Tony, over for some odds for Martinsville. Tony, I put Jimmy Johnson at plus 300. He came in at plus 700. I put Denny Hamlin at plus 500. He came in at plus 450. And I put Chase Elliott at plus 1,000. He came in at plus 1,500. Over to Texas, I'm going to play the Vegas money line. Because of the hype, I'm putting Martin Truex Jr. at plus 250 as the odds-on favorite. I'm putting Jimmy Johnson at plus 700 and Brad Keselowski at plus 1,000. Ready for some podcast pick'ems?
Yeah, let's go.
All right. So, Tony, this past week, I had the 11th of Denny Hamlin, who finished fourth. You had the two of Brad Keselowski, who finished seventh. The PETM boys had Chase Elliott and Kurt Busch, who finished 22nd and 27th. So, Tony, we have a three-race lead with three races to go. Worst case, we tie. I like our odds heading into Homestead here. Well, heading into Texas.
We got to close it out. Here's the thing, though. But we're playing by different rules, right? So we are going by like fantasy. I'm going by fantasy rules, right? I can't pick just random anybody I want.
Right.
I'm picking by like our fantasy rules.
Yes, yes. So you know it would be cool. Okay, since we've started this, there's been there's PETM, there's our British friends across the pond. There's a couple new ones. So maybe next year we can have an official podcast challenge between all these. That'd be kind of fun.
I'm good with that, but I'm just saying, like, I can't randomly just pick whoever I want because I'm out of picks.
Yes.
On some of these drivers.
Yes.
So we do have the deck actually stacked against us a little bit on that one, but I'm still, I mean, it's a mile and a half. I can use it one more time. I'm going to put that bullet in. Let's go with Martin Truex.
Well, that was who I was going to take, but I will go with the two of Brad Keselowski.
Yeah, he's got to push it. He's
got to
go.
Yes. Tony, you got anything else for us, or should I hit some social media?
Well, yeah, hit some social media. We got lots more coming. I mean, hopefully I get some more stuff off the show here, but then that Kyle Petty conversation was, I asked for 90 seconds from him, and he gave us 5 minutes.
That's awesome.
Without hesitation, so
yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah, no, totally. Make sure you check out our website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like us on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow us on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. We want to give this shirt away with within the next three races. We want to give it away before the end of the season. So we need about 250 more followers. So make sure you retweet, and tell your friends. I still didn't get it out right there. Tony, next week I will be out of town. I'm leaving Friday for Nashville. I will not be back till Wednesday afternoon. So we are going to do our show next week, Wednesday evening. So we're going to go back to a Wednesday show next week. But that's it. After that, we'll go back to our Tuesday show.
Right.
Anything else there, sir?
No, let's wrap it up.
All right, everyone. Make sure you tune in each and every week. Otherwise, you will be a lap down.
See you.